Chapter 5, Saving Safe. Dawn was crisp and blue, with dew heavily laden on the grass outside Juice's cave. The morning was far too beautiful to be a backdrop to the dying dragon, but Safe's condition had deteriorated overnight, and she was now struggling to breathe. Juice watched his girlfriend weaken as the girls strove to remove her collar. He finally gave up and launched into the sky in search of Stavius and Janice. The girls worked on loosening Safe's collar for nearly an hour before surrendering and resigning themselves to simply comforting her. Narayana stroked her long, thin neck while Elisa dribbled water into her parched mouth. They knew that these efforts would not save her, but this was the best they could do. Helplessness was a feeling Narayana couldn't accept. She always needed to be doing something, and waiting for this poor creature to die was more than she could bear. Narayana was pacing around Juice's yard, complaining about how they should be attacking the seven families, or stealing talismans, or pretty much anything other than sitting around watching an old dragon die, when the sky suddenly darkened and a breeze sprang up from nowhere. Seconds later, she screamed as two bodies dropped from above. Narayana dodged the two people who were flailing their arms in a fruitless attempt to control their fall as they tumbled past and nearly struck her. The bodies were a boy and a girl who were very much alive and swearing at Juice. Narayana joined in the shouting, "What is wrong with you, you crazy dragon? First you almost squashed us with an apple tree, and now you're bombarding us with people? Just stop already!" "Nice to see you too, Narayana," came a voice from the far end of the lawn. It was Stavius, the fourth hero who had assisted with their escape. That meant that the girl, who was sitting on the ground struggling to determine if all her parts were still functional, was probably Janice.
"Janice, why are you in drag, and where have you guys been?" asked Narayana.
"Don't ask," grumbled Janice as he transformed his frock and long braided hair back into a tunic and a more masculine haircut. "I'm done dressing up as a girl, though."
"But you do it so well," laughed Stavius.
"I see you've all met Juice," he continued, as Juice landed by the cave mouth. "How's Safe doing?"
"She's in pretty bad shape," answered Elisa. "There is something lodged in her throat, and this collar is choking her. I don't think she has long to live."
"Those monsters!" exclaimed Stavius. "What kind of twisted creatures would do this to her?"
"I don't think this was done by monsters," answered Versera. "I think that people did this to her."
The rest of the group stared at her for a moment before she muttered, "Oh, never mind.
But why would anyone do something this cruel?"
"Because they are greedy and hungry for power," Janice tersely replied. "They've stuffed rocks down her throat and locked this tight collar around her neck so she can't spit them out."
"But why?" asked Elisa. "Do those jerks just like torturing these creatures?"
"No," answered Stavius, who was studying the iron collar choking Safe's neck. "Dragons don't have teeth for grinding and use gizzards filled with rocks called gastroliths to help them chew their food. Over time, these rocks absorb magical power from the dragons and become dragon stones, which are among the most precious objects in the world. They are used to create powerful magical devices, including the seven talismans." Safe was captured, forced to swallow far too many stones, and caged for 100 years to turn them into dragon stones. At some point, her captors expected to slice open her neck and harvest them.
"We've got to get that collar off and get those stones out of her now," Elisa exclaimed.
"Marvelous idea, Elisa. What do you think we've been trying to do all day?" Versera sarcastically grumbled. "Does anyone have any fresh ideas?"
"Maybe Stavius could blast it with that magic wand he used to snap her chain," suggested Narayana.
"Nah, he'd probably miss and kill her," answered Janice as he studied the collar. "He has terrible aim, and the energy bolt would probably be drawn to the dragon stones inside her anyway. Besides, an incredibly powerful spell is enhancing this collar. Breaking someone else's spell is exceedingly difficult, and this spell belongs to a powerful magician. We would need enough power to overwhelm that magician's strength to break it."
"Sort of like the way we couldn't get rid of those eluded tomatoes you threw at us when we were in the cage," recalled Narayana with an angry glare. "Will you give that a rest?" groaned Janice. I said I was sorry. Besides, this is different. We don't have to break this spell completely. We just need to block it long enough to get the collar off. And we have a secret weapon. Stavius can draw as much magical power as we want directly from Mirth.
Cool! Exclaimed Narayana with a newfound respect for Stavius.
So, what are you waiting for, Stavius? Get that collar off her! Stavius awkwardly stood there for several embarrassed seconds before Janice explained.
Well, it isn't that simple. You see, Stavius is probably the most powerful magician in the world, except that he can't actually perform any magic.
Frisera blurted, Well, that sucks. And without warning, everyone, including Stavius, began to laugh.
You have no idea how right you are, Frisera, he lamented.
But, interjected Janice, we can make this work. Stavius can channel the energy into me so that I can use my magic to transform the collar into rubber temporarily. It just needs to last long enough for you guys to stretch and slide it over Safe's head. Janice's idea made sense, and the girls' spirits rose for the first time since they had arrived at Juice's cave. They surrounded Safe, Stavius's hand was on Janice's back, Janice's hands were on the iron collar, and the girls were ready to grab and stretch the device over her head. The air crackled as Stavius drew raw energy out of the planet, and wisps of smoke rose from Janice's hands as he magically transformed the collar. However, the transformation didn't work. They tried for 15 minutes until they were all collapsed in exhaustion. The spell was just too strong to break, even with the raw energy Stavius was supplying. The problem was that, while Stavius probably could draw enough power, Janice's body had limits of how much it could handle. He was already feeling woozy and feverish. He just could not transform the stiff iron collar into a stretchable material.
I'm sorry, guys, he whimpered as he collapsed after his final attempt. The spell is just too strong to change iron into rubber. It's too much for me to do.
They were sitting in a haphazard circle around Safe, listening to her raspy breathing while Juice sobbed in the distance. Janice and Stavius were lying on their backs, trying to regain their strength, while Elisa and Versera watched Narayana angrily smash acorns with a rock.
Hey, Janice, do you think it would be possible to transform the collar from one form of iron to another? Asked Rosera.
Sure, but you'd have the same problem, answered Janice. Iron doesn't stretch unless it's heated to a high temperature, and we'd kill Safe before the iron collar was hot enough to stretch.
True, Rosera thoughtfully replied, but her collar appears to be enhanced wrought iron, which is very strong and malleable. What if we transformed it into cast iron, which is brittle, and had Narayana hit it with a rock? She's pretty good at hitting things. Do you think she could shatter it?
Versera, I could kiss you, exclaimed Janice as he jumped up. That is brilliant. That kind of transformation should be minor enough for me to do with Stavius's power. You guys get some rocks to bang against the collar while we get ready.
Narayana and Versera disappeared for a few minutes and returned with tools far better than rocks. They had magically created hammers. Versera's looked like some sort of mallet, but Narayana's was a 10-pound sledgehammer with a 3-foot ash handle. Stavius grinned at them, put his hand on Janice's back, and said, Let's break this thing off, the old girl. The boys struggled with the spell for 20 seconds as the air shimmered around the iron ring. Suddenly, the collar's appearance shifted from a glossy black finish to a matte gray texture, and Janice croaked,
Now, Versera, hit it hard!
Narayana and Versera swung their hammers against the collar in alternating blows. Safe yelped with each strike while Elisa held the dragon's head in her lap and reassured her. On the eighth blow, Narayana brought her sledgehammer down with such force that Safe squealed in pain, but they all heard a distinctive crack. The girls redoubled their efforts, and two swings later, the collar shattered. Elisa and Versera grabbed the collar fragments and tossed them away in case the spell might rejoin them, while Narayana, Stavius, and Janice collapsed on the ground. Safe immediately began convulsing, and after a few moments, heaved up a half-dozen fist-sized gastroliths. Her neck was still bulging, but she was now able to breathe better and struggled to her feet. The injured dragon began limping around the lawn, coughing and retching up dragon stones as Juice walked beside her, providing support. 10 minutes later, her choking became so intense that they thought she was having a seizure. She stopped and stood dead still for several seconds without breathing. Suddenly, her entire body convulsed and a gas the size of a small boulder popped out of her mouth. Safe collapsed on the ground and was too weak to move. She was exhausted from expunging the gastroliths. The blood dribbling out of her mouth indicated the damage the effort had caused to the inside of her throat, but she at least could finally breathe. Juice fetched another bucket of water, and Elisa began pouring it into her mouth. Only Juice, Stavius, and Janice, who could telepathically communicate due to their time with the unicorns, could understand her telepathic thoughts of thanks, but everyone felt the rippling waves of emphatic gratitude emanating from her mind. Juice began helping her to his nest and had just reached the cave entrance when a sound caused everyone to stop and stare at the edge of the forest. The collar had been sputtering and sizzling ever since it had been removed. The noise had suddenly increased to an extreme level and now sounded like an electrical appliance short-circuiting in a frying pan full of hot grease. The volume grew until it became almost a whistle as the collar fragments began to glow. Then, without warning, the pieces exploded. There were no flames or heat, just a concussive pressure wave that shook the ground and bowed the trees.
"Ouch, that's gotta hurt," chuckled Janice.
"Nah, it wasn't that bad," answered Versera with a smile. "No, Versera," Janice grinned, "having one of your spells broken is physically and mentally painful. That was a massively powerful spell. Somebody is writhing in searing pain right about now."
"Good. The person who did this deserves so much more," was the thought that simultaneously appeared in everyone's mind.
The girls didn't realize it, but the idea emanated from Juice as he turned to gently help his mate onto his nest with his magical healing energy. The group collapsed on the ground in silent exhaustion. Narayana finally broke the silence by asking,
"So, boys, what took you so long to get here? We've been hard at work trying to save Safe while you two were relaxing wherever you went."
"Relaxing?" Stavius exclaimed. "Janice stole a talisman while you guys were chilling in your cage, and then we had to fight our way out of the fairgrounds instead of simply being whisked away by Safe."
"Trust me, that was much more than a gentle whisk," groaned Versera.
"But wait, did you say you stole a talisman? Show it to us." Janice grinned and said, "Yes, I did," as he took off his tunic to show a tattoo of the Spear of Mars running from his left shoulder to his elbow.
"Oh, wow, you stopped to get some ink," muttered Versera with an eye roll. "I am so impressed."
"No, this is the Spear of Mars," claimed Janice. It's hard to explain without some background. Why don't you let Stavius tell his story first?" The girls were unimpressed, but found comfortable places to sit by the cave entrance and expectantly looked at Stavius to share his story.